You can take your Bibles tonight and you can go to Psalm 37. And we're going to start in verse 5. And tonight I'm sharing on taking a stand. Taking a stand. In Psalm 37, verse 5, it says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it," what?
To pass.
Right? All God's request of us is to commit our ways unto him and to trust him. Right? What pleases God, it says in Hebrews, is believing. Right? He wants children who believe his word, who trust him, who have confidence in him. Right? And so when we take a stand, we commit our way unto God. Right? We make a decision and that we're going to be committed to God and his word. And tonight we're going to take a look at a couple of records in Daniel about believers who did just that. So we're going to go to Daniel chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 46. Daniel 2, 46. We're getting a little bit of a running start on this record. It says, "Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him." And he was doing this because he was dreaming dreams and no one could tell him what his dreams meant. But Daniel, by revelation, by walking with God, was able to tell the king what the dreams meant. And the king was very pleased about this. In verse 47, it says, "The king answered unto Daniel and said, Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon." So God helped Daniel interpret the king's dream, and in return, the king made Daniel a very important man and very wealthy, right? He had great success because he walked with God. And the king put him in this wonderful position. He was the ruler over the whole province of Babylon. And at the time, the children of Israel were under captivity, right? They were scattered abroad, and they were held captive by the people of Babylon. And these kings of Babylon at the time in history, they like ruled the greater part of that world, right? That part of the world, that Middle Eastern area. So that was a big deal, to be the ruler over all the whole province of Babylon. And in verse 49, Daniel makes a request of his own. "Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king." And so these were friends of Daniel that came up with him. If you read the earlier chapters of Daniel. So Daniel says, "Hey, can we put these guys in charge of the affairs of the province of Babylon? You know, I'll be your second-hand man here, but can we bring these guys up?" And the king did that. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who we're going to read about in chapter 3, were very important men too. Chapter 3, verse 1, "Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits. Some people estimate that a cubit is 18 inches. 70 is 60. So that's about 90 feet tall. That's like skyscraper height, right? That's like 9 stories tall. That's pretty big. And the breadth thereof, 6 cubits. About, I guess that would be about, 9 feet. So, really big. He set it up in the plain of Dura, and in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So basically anybody who had any kind of title or position in these provinces of Babylon, which again was a great kingdom at that time, all needed to show up for the dedication of this statue. Verse 3, then all those people, the princes, governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, and the rulers of all the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood there before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages. Again, they had rulership over quite a number of countries. So he's telling everybody everywhere that verse 5, at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worships the selfsame hour shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And so they gave a decree. You worship this giant golden statue we put together, or you burn in the fiery furnace. Pretty simple choice. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard those instruments and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations and languages, fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So they heard the music and they got with it. And they worshiped, because they did not want to get thrown into the fiery furnace.
Nope.
Verse 8, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that hears all this music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that they should be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And this accusation in verse 12 is kind of cool because it illustrates their commitment and their stand. And there's 3 parts to it. In verse 12, it says, they have not regarded thee, right? They didn't put the king on some pedestal as this, you know, thing to be respected over God. They serve not thy gods, right? They weren't worshiping other gods or false gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And they weren't given over to idolatry of this golden statue, right? They had made up their mind that they were going to serve God. And doing any of those things would not be serving God. Verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Is what I'm hearing true, that you're not doing these things? Verse 15. Now, I'll give you another shot. If you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of all this music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Right? If you want to, is your last chance. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour or immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Right? Well, who's going to save you if you don't do this? Well, it's quite a challenge. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We are not anxious. We are not, you know, worried about giving you an answer to your question. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. So they answered the question, right? Who is this God that's going to save you? Well, it's our God who's going to do that. He's able to do it. That was their believing, that God was able and that he was willing. He is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. That's taking a stand. Because the alternative was certain death, right? They knew that if they didn't do this, they were going to be burned alive. But they had to make, so they had a choice to make. They could be like, well, burning fiery furnace doesn't sound so great. Or they could take a stand for God. And they believed that God would take care of them no matter what. And verse 18 shows that. But if not, if we're wrong, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They trusted God, but they also acknowledged that if some way they were wrong, they were going to die trusting God. Right? That's just the attitude that they had. They believed God, and they were going to do it no matter the circumstances. Verse 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than was wont or known to be heated. So he got really, really angry and said, all right, heat that bad boy up 7 times as hot as it's been, because we're burning these guys. Now at that point, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have said, oh, go ahead, maybe not. I mean, it's starting to get pretty warm here, right? At any point in this, they could have backed out, right? They were facing certain death. But as we'll see, they did not. Verse 20, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hat. They even left their hats on them, and other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew or killed those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So he had heated it so hot that the guys who were going up there to throw them in ended up perishing from the heat and the fire. In verse 23, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, that's right, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God, or like an angel, right? And so his question was, did we throw three men bound? And what they saw was not bound, but loose, not burned, but unharmed, and not three, but four, right? So God was at work doing something great for these men. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of who? The Most High God. Well, what a change of attitude, huh? Mr. Raging Fiery Pants was now, hey, you guys, servants of the Most High. He was amazed. He was astonished. He was now calling their God the Most High God. Come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. They walked out. And the princes and governors and captains and king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had how much power?
None.
No power. No power. Has anybody ever burned themselves?
Yes.
Hot plate, little flame. It's not fun. Feels like it's got some power to it. My hand stinks for a little while afterwards. Then I take a hot shower and go, oh! Yeah. The fire had no power at all on them. God's power was bigger. Upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed. Not even a hair got singed. Neither were their coats changed. The clothes that they're wearing weren't burned or torched or colored, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. And that one's even crazier, right? Like, you sit by a campfire for 10 minutes and your clothes smell like it the next day. Nothing. It was like the fire wasn't even there. That's deliverance. That's the magnitude of God's ability and protection. All because these men took a stand for God. Verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. They trusted God. Even the king recognized it. And have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Right? And so Nebuchadnezzar says, they changed my mind. Right? They have changed my mind. Their stand was an example that changed the king's mind and all the folks who were there who witnessed it. Right? These other counselors and rulers all got to see it. Therefore, verse 29, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speaks anything against or anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort or after this manner. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Right? And then they got promotions. They were in even higher positions than they were previously. All because they took a stand for God. All because they said, we would rather die in a burning fiery furnace than go against the will of God. That's taking a stand. Go to Daniel chapter 6. Can you imagine putting yourself in that position? Right? Facing certain death, gun to your head. What are you going to do? Are you going to trust God? He's able to deliver. Daniel 6, verse 1. There's a new king in Babylon at this time. His name is Darius. And in verse 1 of chapter 6, it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. So he sets up a new government. 120 princes, they manage the whole kingdom. And over these, those 120 folks, there were three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, or the one in charge, that the princes might give accounts to them, to the presidents, and the king should have no damage or loss. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Right? So he did such a good job that the king said, well, Daniel should just run the whole joint. Less work for me to do. Well, as you can imagine in politics, that did not sit well with everyone else. Verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. We can't have this Daniel guy in charge of us. But they could not find, they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault in him. So they couldn't find any dirt on him. He walked with God, he did God's word, he was an honest and a trustworthy person, and they couldn't find anything to accuse him about. Verse 5, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. The only way we're going to be able to take this guy down is if we use his believing and his faithfulness against him. That was smart. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto the king, King Darius, live forever. That's how you greet a king, by the way. Live forever, king. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, we've all met together, we've all consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god, and that ask a petition is to pray a prayer, to make a request, of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, except for thee, the only person anybody should be praying to or asking of anything is you, king, because you're so important. If any man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. And this is such a great idea, king. Everybody's got to come to you, and you're the most important thing ever, right? And you know our laws, they can't be changed, so you should sign it. Wherefore, Darius, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. That's a good idea. I like that. It makes me feel important. And so he signed it. Verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he understood the new law. He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime, as he used to do. He knew the new law, and he did not care. He continued to pray to God just as he had always done. It made no difference to him that there was now this law or this decree. Right? Again, facing certain death, being thrown into a den of lions, you generally don't come out of that. He decided that he was still going to pray. He wasn't going to give up his relationship with God. Verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hey, King Darius, hast thou not signed a decree that every man shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, except of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? Remember when he said that? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. That's true. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Well, he keeps praying three times a day. What do you think about that, O king? Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed. Remember, we can't change it just because Daniel's doing it. Verse 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and, oh, sorry, I missed verse 14. Go to verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. So the king's reaction wasn't one of anger, it was one of feeling sorry that he had done this. He felt really horrible. He was like, I see what these guys are up to. And he felt terrible. And he tried to think of every way that he could get Daniel out of this. All the way, the rest of the day, he spent trying to figure out, how can I get Daniel out of this? I love Daniel. That's a very different reaction than the old king. This king really cared about Daniel. Then verse 15 again, these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Remember, you can't change it. It's the end of the day. We got to do this thing. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thy servest continually, he will what? Deliver thee. Right? King Darius recognized who Daniel was and recognized his stand. Right? It said in the beginning of the chapter that there was an excellent spirit in him. Right? He had the spirit of God on him. He walked with God. He manifested. And the king recognized this. And the king said, God will deliver you. I'm confident. Even the king knew. Daniel must have trusted God for the king to have recognized this. Verse 17, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. So at the end of the day, they close him in there and leave him in there overnight. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. He couldn't sleep. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went with haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then Daniel said unto the king, the thing you're supposed to say, O king, live forever. So he calls back to him, I'm still down here. I'm still alive. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Right? I was innocent before God, just as I'm innocent before you, O king. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Right? That's why. Because he believed in God. He believed that God would take care of him, and he took a stand. He continued to pray to God, to have a relationship with God, even when the law said he would be condemned to death otherwise. Verse 24, and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. Yikes. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. So they got their just deserts. Then the king Darius wrote unto all people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. And this went out to everybody, all because one man took a stand. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Right? What an example, again, one man's stand had on so many. And God is faithful to take care of us when we commit our way unto him and trust in him. And we'll close in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. I'd like to think that I would be that way. Thankfully, I've never been put in that position. But it takes guts to stand for God. It takes guts to say, I believe God, and to let people know who you are and what you stand for. And God's given us all that we need to take that stand. That's what it says here in Ephesians. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It's God who has the might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Right? And that's the whole armor of God. All of those things, our righteousness, right? The truth of God's word, our shield of believing, our helmet of salvation, our ability to pray and make requests be made known unto God. God's given us all the tools we need to be able to take a stand. Where in verse 13 it says, wherefore take you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.